If you're familiar with Lidia Bastianich, you probably know her for her long-running cooking show on public TV, her focus on Italian cuisine and culture. Maybe you know her from her many cookbooks or restaurants around the country. Now, for the first time, she's sharing the full story of her life, from growing up behind the Iron Curtain in the former Yugoslavia, fleeing to a refugee camp in Italy, arriving in the United States, cooking for two popes, and more. She says she couldn't be more grateful to the U.S. for her new life and the opportunities that came with it. Lidia Bastianich is the host of the public television show Lidia's Kitchen. Her new memoir is titled My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. Lidia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Pleasure being here.
So you were a child. Borders had just changed after World War II. Your family, your Italian family, found itself in now communist Yugoslavia. Can you talk about your life growing up there?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was born in Istria. Istria is a little peninsula that now actually is in Croatia. But if you look up in the northeast of Italy, right across the Adriatic, there a little piece of Venice is this little peninsula. And that was all Italian territory. And of course, as you said, after World War II, it was given as part of the Paris Treaty. It was given to the newly formed communist Yugoslavia. I was just born at that time, and things changed really drastically and fast. The Iron Curtain went up, our names were changed, we couldn't speak Italian, we couldn't go to church. My father, who was a businessman, had two trucks, they were taken away, he was put to jail for being a capitalist, and so on. You know, really oppressed on living a free life. And we had to sort of get into the rhythm of communistic rule and dogma.
You've talked in your book and on the show in the past about some bright spots in your life then, and a lot of them have to do with food and your grandmother. Can you talk about that?
Yes, Rob. I think, you know, my mother was a teacher, an elementary school teacher, and the city that I was born is now Pula, was Pola. But my grandmother lived about 5 kilometers off in a little town called Brusoler, one road with houses on both sides. And my mother had the mindset to put us with grandma so that we wouldn't feel the oppression, the difficulties. So I grew up in a courtyard with chickens, with goats, with ducks, with rabbits. We had 2 pigs every year. Grandpa made olive oil, wine. We had a garden. I would help grandma harvest the potatoes, the wheat, and all of that. So for me, it was an idyllic kind of child's situation with nature, within nature. And I remember just the beautiful relationship that I had with grandma and with all of those animals and the food that we produced and that I helped her to produce. I was the runner, let's put it that way.
And that started a theme throughout your life, I think. Anybody who's watched you or read your books knows this to be true. It's never just about food with you. It's never just food. It's memories and connections and people.
Well, Rob, you know, about 9 years after, my parents decided to try to get away from this. And of course, they wouldn't let the whole family go. We had relatives on the other side of the border in Trieste. So my mother, my brother and I got the visa to go and visit supposedly a sick aunt. My father was not given the visa. He had to remain because they knew that the whole family would not come back. So as children, we were not told that. We just went to Trieste. We thought we were going to come back. But after 2 weeks, my father came at the door. He escaped literally, physically walking over the border and avoiding the dogs and the shoot. They shot at him and whatever. And, you know, the reality was that we were not going to go back. And, you know, in years after, thinking about, you know, why is my connection to that place? Why is my connection to food so strong? I realized that, you know, not knowing that I wasn't going to come back, I had unfinished business. I had not said goodbye to grandma, to my animals, to my friends. And in a way, food became my connector. I loved cooking the dishes that grandma cooked, the smell, reproducing the smells that I recall with grandma. And all of that kind of gave me comfort and kept me in contact. And it seems that, you know, my whole life is connected to that, you know, using food, enjoying to sort of connect with food and sharing emotion and food and love with the family and with the people.
and then your family had escaped from Yugoslavia, and you and your family were literally refugees. You stayed at a refugee center for a couple of years, I think. What was that like?
Right. So, you know, my father was without papers and our visas were ending. Had they caught us, they could have repatriated us. So my parents decided to go to the police and register as refugees. And in turn, they put us in a political refugee camp. San Saba is the name. Now it's a museum. If anybody goes to Trieste, certainly they can visit it. And before the refugee camp, it was a Nazi concentration camp. So it was a dreary place. I remember, you know, going the first kind of time that I went in there, and it felt so oppressive. It felt so dark. It smelled of humidity. I still recall all of those kind of emotions. But we stayed there for 2 years, awaiting an opportunity to migrate someplace in the world. And for my parents, America was the destination of choice. But, you know, whoever would have asked for us or whoever would have given us the visa. And it just happened that in 1958, Dwight Eisenhower was the president, and he opened the immigration for immigrants, refugees fleeing communism.
What did that mean for you as a refugee yourself, your family, when you got the word, when you came over to the United States?
Oh my goodness! When they first heard it was, you know, was a fiesta, festivities, you know, all excited. Oh, we're gonna go to America. My brother and I, you know, we were kids. I was 12, he was 14, and we had seen photos of New York, of America, you know, the music certainly, and we were so excited. But my parents too. I think they were very sort of alleviated because there was no future in that camp. They didn't know. It was uncertainty. And being a parent and having two children and feeling so uncertain, not having a home for them, not having, are they going to go to school? Are they going to go? So everybody was really elated. And in 1958, the Catholic Relief Services and the Red Cross brought us to the United States. And, you know, here we had nobody. We did not speak the language. We didn't have any money. So it was all through the goodness of the government and all of these associations that kind of got us settled, our beginning in America.
Talking to Lydia Bastianich, her new memoir is My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. Lydia, how did you go from, you know, you're a refugee kid now in New York, how did you get into restaurants?
Well, Rob, you know, I came, as I said, 12, began school, and slowly, you know, I cooked even at home. I continued to cook along the way, sort of to even in when I was in the camp, I was going out to school, and they put me in the kitchen, in the nuns' school, in the kitchen to help. So when I came to the United States, as soon as I could, I cooked for the family because the parents worked late trying to make extra money. But also, I began asking for side job. One of my first side jobs was in a bakery, Walker's Bakery. Christopher Walken, we are still friends. And, you know, things kind of happened. But, you know, there's an energy. Here we were. We had to make it now. You know, this is going to be our home. We can put roots here. I can feel stable here. I can feel comfortable. Nobody's going to persecute me. And all of this as a young child, you know, it generates a kind of go out and do it attitude, you know, make it happen. So, you know, learning English as fast as we could, being great in school, because that all meant, you know, really assimilating and kind of almost wanting to be really accepted by a country. And you know, you really are accepted when you're at your best. And this was a continuous, I think, kind of energy that drove me from school on. I met eventually my husband, who was in the industry, and he was an immigrant. He was a maitre d' in a restaurant in New York, and he wanted to open a restaurant. And then we opened a little 9-table restaurant. I was good at cooking, but I wasn't a chef. We hired a chef. I became the sous chef for 9 years and I really honed my skills. We went back to Italy and I went in all the cuisines of Italy with the chefs in Italy to learn, to really hone my skills. And the first restaurant we opened was in 1971. We had two restaurants. After 9 years, we sold those and we opened Felidia on 58th Street in Manhattan. And that's when I became the chef. And I became the chef. So the first restaurants had Italian-American cuisine, which is a delicious cuisine, but it's not the cuisine of Italy. Italy has a regional cuisine. So in 1981, when we opened Felidia and I became the chef, I said, I'm going to cook the food of the regions of Italy, 20 regions and all kinds of food. And that, I think, what brought everybody's attention. What is this woman chef, Italian, and what kind of Italian food is she cooking? So Rob, that's when the press became interested. Julia Child came to visit me, James Beard. And, you know, these are the opportunities that this great country really offers. You know, there's a curiosity of somebody, if somebody's doing something good and new. And, you know, I wasn't going to let one thing slide by. I just was so grateful, so happy, so full of wanting to do things because.
And you write throughout your book, your faith, your Catholic faith has been important to you. It was repressed in Yugoslavia. Ultimately, you hit a point where you've cooked, well, not for one, but for two different popes in your career.
Oh, my God, Robert. You know, I think about it, two popes. My God, who gets a chance to cook? And yes, indeed, I had that great honor. And, you know, it just brought me closer. You are right. You know, I returned to my faith as a young child, really knowing that the faith was there, was ours, but we weren't allowed to practice it. And then I just took it back wholeheartedly. And yes, being spiritual and believing and having faith is a big element in my being who I am, in my raising my family, in what I do. There's always a consciousness of that. You know, as far as the popes, one would wonder, Lydia, how did you get picked? Well, Rob, you know, coming in a certain part of my career, I felt the need to give back. And so I still do a lot of charitable events, fundraising events. For 10 years, I worked at the United Nations with UNIFEM, the United Nations Female Organization, which is an international, specifically aiding women and mothers in third world countries. And I would do this big fundraisers at the delegates' dining room at the UN. And, of course, the Vatican has its representative at the UN. And we met each other. Monsignor Celestino Migliori was his name, I recall. And he asked me to do some things. But when the Pope was to come, he said, Lydia, you know, the Pope is coming. Would you cook for him? And I jumped. I said, of course I would. But, you know, I never thought it would happen. But it did. And not only did I cook for Pope Benedict, which was, you know, initially, I must say, you know, I just didn't know how to approach the but you know what happens, Rob? I think food is the ultimate equalizer. When I cooked the food and we got the recipes, you know, back and forth with the Vatican, the menu, all of that. And then I got in the kitchen. Now, the popes, when they come, especially when they come to New York, that is, they do not go to hotels. They stay in the nuncio's, which is the representative nuncio's house. And they eat there and they sleep there and then they go around and do what they have to do. So I, with my team, moved into the nuncio's house and we were downstairs cooking. The Pope was sleeping upstairs. It was like family. And it was just extraordinary.
And Lydia, we're just about out of time. I wanted to ask, you have gone back to visit that refugee center, the place you lived. It was a former a concentration camp. What was your emotion like? You've been through all this. You've lived this American dream going back to that place.
It was, you know, I couldn't go back. I went back to Trieste before I could get myself to go back to that camp, it took about four visits back. Mm. Then I found the courage to go. And, you know, it was just choking me. And to see, it's now all kind of empty and gutted from a fire, whatever. But just all those memories of all those people huddled in those corners, they all flooded back to me. And, you know, the anguish, the tightness of you know, throat that one feels, especially as a child, you know, when you hold back your tears or whatever, it all came back to me. And, you know, I can't help even, you know, to think about the situation in today's world. You know, we were the kind of, those children, when I see them on television, it just brings all that back to me. And I say, you know, the life keeps on going, and sometimes we don't learn, do we?
Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Lydia Bastianich, host of the public TV show Lydia's Kitchen, author of a bunch of cookbooks, owner of restaurants, and we've been talking about her new memoir. It's called My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food.